Good morning. So we probably found out we were speaking today about a couple hours before you did in the bulletin. Tab is not well. That's part of the reason why the Children's Center is not okay today. There's a bit of a thing going on over there that Tab picked up from Saoirse. So she messaged us yesterday. And her first message was just, are you guys going to church tomorrow? Be careful how you answer that question. I'm just saying.
When people do that, they lay the question first.
They set it up, and then
why?
And you go, yeah.
She probably and, wants us to host or something.
Yeah, that's what we said. Oh, maybe she needs someone to host. We can do that. We can jump in. Anyway, here we are. She said, could you do the teaching time? And we went, okay. So
slash back to 24 hours before a conversation with Tab about she's preparing, spent a whole week preparing for the service and preparing her message and stuff. And we're like, yeah, no, we could have just, we talk about what we do, but we're not really good at like
sermons.
We don't do that.
It's not really our thing. God said,
surprise,
hold my beer. So here we are. So set your expectations, okay? Somewhere down here, just saying. And we're not actually going to really talk about our ministry. Like, that's what she said. We'll just talk about Hope Ministries. And actually, we're not going to do that. That's not what we felt like we're supposed to do. It'll be a kind of interweaved in there because it's part of our story. But it's not really what we feel like we're supposed to talk about today. So
September is when we're supposed to talk
September,
about
we're going to. So stay tuned. September 15th. Okay. So this is just kind of like laying some groundwork for what we're going to talk about in September. So the first thing I want to ask everybody is, if you had to rate your trust in Jesus on a scale from 1 to 10, where would that number be? So just keep that number in your head, okay? Save it for later. We're going to circle back around to that. Okay, so one of the things that I say to people sometimes is your litmus test for your trust in Jesus is if he were to ask you a question, but before you know the question, could you say yes? Jesus, I'm going to ask you to do something, but he's not going to tell you what it is. Could you say yes before you knew what it was he was going to ask you to do? Now, where's your number? What did that do? Where's that thing that you're like, okay, Jesus, yeah, I trust you. I trust you with my whole life. Yes, I am in. And then he says, okay, could you just, and you go, oh, hang on a minute there. I thought we had some boundaries, except do we?
And I said I was going to give you everything. I didn't mean everything.
Everything. You know, that whole Jesus take the wheel and you're like, where's Jesus in the car? Well, sometimes he's in the trunk. Let's just be real. But I think all of us, right, we want our faith and our life as Jesus not just to be a Sunday morning sitting in church, you know, being fed something that's been studied by someone else. We want our faith to be active. We want it to be something that grows, right? We do that. We do want that, right? That's where you go, yes, yes, we do want that. We want our faith. Thank you. Yay, God. So
you imagine you're sitting at home, just relaxing, watching TV, doing nothing, knock at the door, which doesn't happen these days because nobody knocks at the door. They usually just call or text. But anyway, knock at the door, you open the door, and there's your best friend in the world. And they say, hey, come on, let's go. Oh, okay, because they're your best friend. You trust them. So Jen just turns up at the house one day because she's my best friend too.
Aww.
She just comes in and says, come on, let's go. Well, okay, off we go because I trust her. But then you imagine somebody comes to the door and they're like a friend of a friend, somebody's told you about. You don't know them. You have no really connection with them. But they come up to the door and say, hey, come on, let's go. You can be like, no. Where do you want me to go? No, come on, you're going to come with me. It's going to be great. I'm going to need a little bit more information than that.
So when Tab called us, or texted us, actually, to take the service yesterday at about 10 a.m., so why would she do that? Why would she call us? Why? Well, first of all, she called Scott and couldn't get a hold of him. Let's just be real. He was the first call, not us. We were definitely plan C or D, I think, probably on the list. But Tab loves this church with her entire heart, right? And so for her to trust giving us these microphones and standing up here on a Sunday morning, that involves a lot of trust. So why does Tab trust us like that? Why does she feel like she was comfortable to give us the microphone? we have on and off over the last 12 years lived in the same house with Tab. We know the good, the bad, and the ugly about each other. We've been through lots of highs and lots of lows together, and we have built a relationship. So our trust really is about relationship. If we don't have a relationship with someone, we don't really openly give our trust to people, do we? Less and less so these days. So we have relationship.
So this is when Tab knocks at the door and says, hey, come on, let's go. We just go because we have that relationship. We have that trust. We know that that person wants the best for us. They're not going to want us to do something that's going to hurt us and not be good for us.
So the same can be said for our trust in God, our trust in Jesus, right? If our relationship is based only on this Sunday morning thing where we come in and we sit and we listen to somebody and then we go home and we don't talk to Jesus the whole week, we don't imagine that your relationship with somebody was just an hour on Sunday morning and really just hearing someone else talk about that person. If that was your only relationship with that person, your trust in them is not going to be very deep. It's not going to go very far. You have to spend time getting to know that person. So 18 years ago, Phil came back from a mission trip.
Walking in the door.
And saying, I think God's saying we should be missionaries. And I said, I don't think I'm hearing that. I might have had my fingers in my ears and I might have been going, la, 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 or something like that. But I definitely was not, I was not hearing that yet, okay?
But now, Jen, we have a great relationship. She trusts me. Mm-hmm. But this was a huge thing. I'm saying, let's take our lives and completely turn them upside down.
And although he is my sun and moon and all of the things, he's not Jesus. He's just a guy, okay? So I wanted to hear from the source that this is actually something that he was calling us into doing and not just some harebrained idea my husband had because he went on a trip and got all hopped up on missions, right? I wanted to know. So that's the other reason why our relationship has to be not just with who's standing up here with the microphone, not just with somebody who has unpacked the Bible for us and fed it to us, but it has to be a direct connection. Because if it's not, that's how you get led into a cult. That's how you get led down the garden path. Because you don't actually know who God is. You don't know Jesus' character. You don't know his word. You are taking it all secondhand from someone else. And that is why I didn't just go jumping on a plane in 2006 to go off and be missionaries just because my husband said, let's do this.
And although I thought it was such a great idea at that time, hindsight, yes, we're obviously supposed to be missionaries. That's what we do now. But the timing wasn't right. If we'd gone when I wanted us to go, when my flesh wanted us to go, it probably would have gone horribly wrong. We weren't ready.
Obviously, he was right in the end, but I had to get there first. We had to get together on that. And so how do we get together on that? How did I get to the place where I was like, okay, yes, you're right. Listening. So listening to God and hearing God's voice and know what he's saying, that's the next step. And that is something that also takes time. It takes practice. It takes relationship with him in order to recognize his voice. So nowadays, AI is a thing, right? And we're hearing all kinds of crazy stories about them being able to synthesize your kid's voice, and your kid calls and says, you have to send money to so-and-so because they've kidnapped me and blah, 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 blah. I would like to believe that if someone synthesized Phil's voice and called me and tried to say something different or out of character, that I would recognize that it wasn't him, right? Because I know his voice. I not only know the sound of his voice, but I know the character behind his voice. I knew who he is and what he stands for. So that's the other part of our listening. We have to know who God's character is. And how do we do that? Many, many ways. How do we listen? How do we hear from God? How do we know it's him speaking?
And this is one of those things that when I was new to the church, because I didn't become a Christian until I was 29. Mm-hmm. So coming into that, and you hear people talking about stuff, about, oh, when I hear God's voice, and this, and God told me to do this, and I'm looking at them going, you say, what? How does he do that? Is there a message, a text? Do you get a call? That was, for me and everybody else, especially here in the vineyard, because that's what we do. We listen to God. We hear him. And for me, I remember early on that being such a kind of, everybody else seemed to know it and I didn't, but you don't want to say that because you don't want to look like the guy that stands out. So you just kind of sit there and go, yes, very good. But then now I find I'm that guy. I'm the guy saying I'm happy. Many times, because of what we do for our work, we rely on God so much to hear his direction. And it just, I hear myself saying it now. I say, well, God told us to do this and God told us to do that. It's every so often somebody stops and says to us, go, hang on a minute. What do you mean God told you to do that? Like, what does that look like?
So, for example, when we finally, after our 2010 two mission trips together as a family, and I finally went, all right, you're right. I think God is actually calling us into missions.
I knew I was right.
But we still didn't want to go just based on that. Even though we had unity and we felt pretty good about it, we wanted confirmation. So we went to our elders and we said, hey guys, this is what we feel God is saying. Could you guys pray about it too and see what you hear? Which they came back with a unanimous, yes, we absolutely feel like God is calling you into this, which is why we step forward. So that's one of the ways, right? Is we can hear ourselves, but we ask, right, the body of Christ to also listen for us. Because sometimes our filter can be a little bit, you know, we can be driven in the things that we want, our flesh. So it is always good to have somebody else, other people that you know and love and trust, brothers and sisters in Christ, to also pray about what it is you think you're hearing from God.
And one of the biggest keys in all of this is stay focused on God, because he can guide you in a direction and then you can grab that direction and go running off with it. And he's standing back going, whoa. I didn't tell you to head that. I said, start going that way. And now we're going to go this way. By which time you run off down the road and head off somewhere else.
Be ready to pivot. Like today, we're pivoting. We're pivoting.
As taught by Marilla. But
pivot.
But if we had done that, if we had, you know, finally Jen figures out I'm right for a change and gets on board with the whole mission idea, but the way things went, if we had gone with what we thought was right, we would have gone off to Costa Rica.
Oh, yeah. It's nice there.
We thought that was perfect. We went there. We met some people. They wanted missionary. It was just, it ticked all the boxes.
Monkeys falling out of the trees everywhere. For those of you who know, we met in Nigeria looking after monkeys. So monkeys are a thing for me, okay? So the fact there were, I was very drawn to that place.
So that's why it's so important to stay connected to Jesus and ask him constantly. Ask the people around you to keep praying. Stay focused on that, because otherwise we would have gone completely off track and missed all the amazing blessings that God's had in our lives.
And in fact, the very couple of days before we were leaving for Brazil, the missionaries that we had met in Costa Rica were actually leaving Costa Rica. So that was big confirmation for sure.
And this is one of the examples of how the different ways you can hear God's voice, how he can connect with you. So we go to Costa Rica. It's beautiful. We love it. They want people there. But we've already agreed and actually paid for the trip to Brazil. So we're like, well, what the heck's going on, God? Because
this place is perfect.
This is awesome. Why would we want to go anywhere else? But it's already done. So, God, well, we do trust you. So we'll go there because maybe that's going to be a connection so we can go back to Costa Rica, because that's all we could think about. But we get to Brazil and there is no monkeys. There's no beach. There's a big stinky river with anacondas, piranhas, crocodiles.
And the occasional fridge.
And the odd person. And it was grubby and it was a really rough neighborhood and it was just dangerous. And it was just not the paradise that Costa Rica was. But within a week, both of us separately just felt in our heart. It wasn't an audible voice. It wasn't something tangible. It was just that absolute sense of peace in here. This is where we're supposed to be. And of course, it didn't make any practical sense because Costa Rica was so pretty and nice.
Just ticked off all the boxes.
But there was that absolute peace. Mm-hmm. And people had spoken to us about that before when we talked to people about, how do you know where to go as a missionary? Mm. You know. You have a sense of peace. You know that's where God's calling you. Until it happens, you don't understand what it feels like. And then when it does, you're just like, this is it. This is the place.
So God can speak in an audible voice. Has anyone here ever heard the audible voice of God? Oh, awesome. Like, okay, yeah. So like two people in this whole crowd have heard the audible voice of God. As was mentioned, pictures, visual. I'm a very visual person. Don't tell me a weird story. I'm going to picture it. Okay? But that is how God speaks to me a lot of the time, is through pictures. So for example, when we were starting, and for those of you who don't know the quick background of the ministry, we work with women in prostitution in Brazil on the streets. So when we felt called into that, one of the things that God showed me was this picture of like letters that we were supposed to give them letters. And I was, and you, a lot of you probably already heard this story, but that didn't make any sense to me until we spoke to some other people and they talked about giving out letters. I can only think of it in Portuguese. What's it called? Help me.
Oh, the Father's Love Letter.
Thank you. The Father's Love Letter, which I knew from Alpha because we often would give it out during Alpha. It's a collection of scripture if you don't know it. The first line of it is, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. And immediately when they said that, I was like, that's the letter he was showing me. But it was a picture in my head. Then when he started talking to us about doing a tent on the beach, he gave me all the details of what it was supposed to look like. I had no idea. It was literally a picture in my head. Okay, this is what it's going to look like. And then that's what we did. So that's another way that maybe he speaks to you in pictures.
I'm going to give another example.
Okay.
So, and again, all of this, the being able to hear God's audible voice, being able to get those pictures, it all comes through that relationship. Because sometimes God might be giving you something, but because you don't have that relationship, you're ignoring it. Mm. Like, and he's kind of like, hello, hello. And you're just like, mm-hmm. Because all you think it's just a random thought in your head, this kind of thing.
Example, early days of our small group, we were praying for somebody and I was still really new in my faith and not trusting that that thing I was hearing in my head was coming from God. But I kept getting this repetitive thing, right? Over and over and over again. And I was like, that's not me. That's just me. That's not God. That's just me. That's not God. And I didn't say it. Well, my sister, this will not be a very big surprise for those of you who know us, because we often say the exact same thing at the exact same time. But she was also praying for that same person. And all of a sudden, the words that were in my head were coming out of my sister's mouth. And I was like, oh, maybe that was God talking to me. But I still didn't have that relationship to trust it. But he showed me, because he was like, hello, hello, I'm going to use you now. And I went, it's not you. That's not you. That's not you. So he went, okay, your sister's going to, fine. I'll get her to say it. Because she was a little further ahead on her relationship and her trust in Jesus. But that was a really big moment for me, because I was like, oh, that was his voice. Okay.
And we all hear differently. And again, I'm going to go back to that relationship part, because you've got to have that connection to be able to understand, how does he best talk to me? Doesn't mean he's not going to talk to you in many different ways at any time, but there's also a way that he's going to talk to you more commonly about how do you spend time with him. So, and then what does that look like? What is spending time with him? Obviously, being in the Word, reading your Bible, that is a massive way of spending time with God. But it's about how you have that conversation. And I know they'll teach this in Sunday school. It's been taught to us a long time ago about that connection, that conversation with God. You don't pick up the phone when you want to call somebody and go, hey, and there's this, and I have a whole monologue, and then put the phone down and don't listen to them. It's so important that when you're spending time with God is to be able to talk to him, to pray, to be able to express what you're excited about, what you're happy about, what you're sad about. But it's so important to actually spend that time to stop and listen as well.
And if that's hard for anybody, it's hard for these two right here.
Oh my gosh. It's like
being quiet. Yeah.
Going on in your brain constantly. But it's so important to be able to try. And that takes practice. Because I remember when you first do it kind of thing, you try and stop and then your brain is just bouncing off the walls and going in 100 different directions. You're thinking about everything else. But you've got to find a way to be able to quiet your brain down, be able to quiet yourself down, so God can actually get in there and actually tell you what he needs to tell you.
Another way is prophetic words, right? Somebody might be given a word for you and you're going to hear from God through that. But again, you want to test that against scripture. You want to get confirmation, because for me personally, and this is just my opinion, if somebody comes along to me and says, so saith the Lord, like that, that makes me I'm kind of like, okay, well, I'm going to test that against something, because I don't know. Like, how much, what's my relationship with that person? I don't, you want to back that up. You want to test it against scripture. You want to maybe like you pray about it and process that and all the rest of it too, right? One of the times that we were back in Canada, I think it was the summer that we were between, because we lived in the north of Brazil for 4 years, and then we felt called to move to the northeast of Brazil, to João Pessoa, where we are now. And so we had people praying for us before we were heading back. And I remember one of the words that was spoken over us was, I feel like you guys are actually going to be the answer to someone's prayer. Someone has been praying for you guys to arrive. And for those of you who know our story, we did not end up doing what we went there to do. So there was a big pivot. And it turned out, a couple of years later, we met a couple who used to live in João Pessoa. She's Canadian, he's Brazilian. And it was right around near the end of their time of living in João Pessoa that they had driven down the road where all of the women stand who are in prostitution. And her heart was just breaking for them. And it was like she could see like a sign above the road that was basically like a, like you would see at a meat market kind of thing. Like just that, you know, these women being for sale. And it was just crushing her. But they were literally leaving João Pessoa in a matter of weeks. So she's like, I can't start anything. I can't do anything about this. We're leaving. And she prayed. She said, Jesus, please send someone who is going to see these women, whose heart is going to break for them, and that they will be able to bring you to this street. And so, I mean, we obviously were blown away when we heard that, because it matched up with the word that someone spoke to us, you know, probably 2 years before, that, yeah, we were. Someone had prayed. And also Nick and Rachel Billman, who run Shores of Grace in Recife, they as well had been praying that someone would come to João Pessoa and see these women and start to walk with them and pray with them and love them.
But with that comes, with somebody speaking over you, praying for you, giving you words of knowledge, it's really important to discern, is that for me? And ways to do that is to go back to your Bible. Spend time in prayer, speaking to God. Okay, was that for me? Was that genuine? And also other people, affirmation, confirmation from other people. And somebody else may pray the same thing. You find suddenly several, two, three people in different situations end up praying for you and praying the same thing. Well, that's a good sign that it's actually from God. Mm-hmm. But you have to be a bit careful, because not always, you know, the enemy likes to sneak in and mess around with things, so they can easily put somebody in there that can just give you something that's not going to sit well with him.
And if you don't know your scripture, I mean, we know the enemy can use scripture. Did he really say not to eat from any tree in the garden? Right? Like, he'll take scripture and just twist it a little bit. So if you don't know your scripture, you can be deceived by that sort of thing. So know your scripture.
Now, another way, like, I'm just going to give you another couple of examples of ways that God can speak to us. When we were looking at actually moving to, before we knew we were going to João Pessoa, where we live now, we traveled around in Brazil a lot trying to figure out. We knew we were supposed to go somewhere. God had kind of spoken to us and said, okay, it's time to look up and don't just keep going on that track that I first gave you. So I'm way over here waving at you saying, no, we're going to go in a different direction now. So we had to start looking about where we're going to go. So we started traveling around. And, you know, being mature Christians, we gave God a list. Okay, I want this and I want that. We don't want to start something new. We don't want to do this. So it's always good to give God a list of demands. So yeah, he said,
don't
yeah.
try that. I don't recommend. 0 out of 10.
So in that journey, there was one place we went to in the interior. There was another missionary family there that we loved to bits. And they're like great friends of ours. And it was like, oh, this is awesome. We could come and work with these guys because what they do, we love what they're doing. This is so cool.
They had kids similar ages and our kids love their kids.
School together. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be fantastic. So perfect. Again, perfect. Obviously that is what we felt that was a great move. So obviously God's going to bless that. But well, okay, fine. We'll pray about it. So we pray about it. And I remember Jen says, and I was unsettled about it. And Jen kind of says, yeah, no, I'm getting like a big no. Like a visual, like a big sign saying no.
Well, that was the second time I prayed, because the first time I just heard no. And then I'm like, well, it doesn't make any sense, because this, like, on paper, this is perfect. Like, this would be so great. Are you sure, Jesus? And then, I mean, he's got a sense of humor, because there was like a red stop sign with like Christmas lights around it and arrows pointing at it. And it was like, it could not be any more clear that it was a hard no. This is not where you're supposed to go.
It's like straight out of a Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Yeah, it really, it was. I was like, all right, okay, okay, I get, okay, loud and clear. I'm hearing ya.
So then there's a second place that we looked at. What there was, again, what we wanted. There was other missionaries there. It was looking great. We liked these guys. We thought, how to be perfect. Prayed about that one. And that was more of a God kind of go,
meh.
Meh.
You could.
It wasn't such a hard no as the other one, yeah. But it was still just kind of like, meh. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to do something, I want a bit more than a meh.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely more than meh.
Yeah. So again, it's about that. It's about giving that yes to God. And it's really easy to say on a Sunday morning when somebody else is talking about it and everybody gets excited. Yeah, I would do that. I would give God my yes. But when he knocks on your door and says, come on, I want you to leave all this behind and come with me. If you don't have that relationship, if you don't trust who that is, you're never going to do it. And you're going to miss out on so much. Mm-hmm. You know, you go, I mean, now, obviously, when Tab and stuff, when they preach, they have all the Bible scripture and stuff. And we could have done that this morning. But the problem is what we're talking about.
Also had not very much time. I'm just going to say that right now.
Well, but you talk about trusting God. You talk about listening to God. There's endless scripture that talks about that. The whole Bible's just full of people in God that trusted God, that they stepped out with their lives. They just dropped everything. When Jesus turned around to some of the disciples and said, okay, come on, come with me. They didn't hesitate. They just dropped their nets and ran. That's where you want to be. You want to be open to listen to when he says, come on, let's go. I've got an adventure we're going to do. That you want to be so excited that you just drop everything and run.
And that's where the obey part comes in. But that's really hard to do if you don't have the trust. If you don't know how to recognize his voice, it's really hard to actually step out and do what he's asking you to do. And so the caveat to all of this is, yes, God called these two and our kids to go and leave our family, leave our home, leave everything behind, go to a land I'm showing you, that whole thing. Yes. But our journey did not start there. And, you know, and that may not be anybody else's journey in this room, because God knows you. He knows his kids. He knows what he's built you for. He knows what he's put in you. He knows what he's been training you for your whole life. And that's going to look different for all of us, because we're not all supposed to, well, we all are all supposed to be missionaries because the mission field is everywhere. Say that. But we're not all called to be cross-cultural missionaries. God knew that he was going to call us into missions when he sent Phil from England to Nigeria and Jen from Canada to Nigeria. We did not have missions in mind. We were not Christians. I did not like missionaries, as a matter of fact. Not even a little bit. There's that sense of humor again. But he knew what he was doing, because our life there was all about training us for the next thing. And even though we didn't know him, he knew us. But again, he knew us. He knew the adventurous spirit, the ability to pivot and pick up a microphone 24 hours later when you didn't know that's what you were going to be doing tomorrow. He knew that that is how he made us. So he's not going to call you into things that he hasn't made you already to do. He is going to ask you to trust him. He is going to stretch you and pull you outside of your comfort zone. But the key to that is only if you actually stop and ask him.
So what does that look like, the training part? Because for us, some of it happened before we even knew him. But then, you know, you don't flash forward and suddenly we're just the same as we were 20 years ago and suddenly he's asked us to go. No, there was so much training along the way. Examples, great examples of, so in our small group, right, you remember where we are now and what we do for a living. We spend our time praying for people on the street, talking to them. So you got to flash back, I kind of know how many years, many years.
Yeah.
When we're in our small group and Patrick turns around and says, okay, we need to pray out loud. What are you, crazy?
Well, I don't need to. And I remember going, why do I need to pray out loud? God can hear my thoughts. And I remember Jason Baskerville. Yeah, but the enemy doesn't. Your words have power. Your words, your prayers out loud have power against the enemy. And I was like, oh, all right. Well, I can get into that.
But that's the part where God's trusting you with the small things. So right from the beginning, he starts, if you're willing to listen, he's going to give you the small things. And as you work out with those and you start to exercise those muscles, he's going to give you a little bit more and you get a little bit more. But it's going to stretch you a bit. It's going to put you outside your comfort zone sometimes. But that's good.
That's how we grow. We don't grow when we're stagnating and comfortable and half asleep. We grow when we're being stretched.
But be gracious to the people that push you outside your comfort zone, because we all beat up pretty badly on Patrick.
We did.
When he would ask us to do something in our small group, we'd be like, oh, I don't want to do that. That sucks.
We're not going to the street corner and talking to people. What are you, crazy?
Stupid.
We're not moving into a house and renovating it. What are you, crazy?
Ended up doing that stuff, but that's the stuff that stretched us outside our comfort zone. That's stuff that helped us to grow in our relationship. And again, that's the key.
And that's another thing that I'm just thinking about now. Surround yourself with people who are like just that much further down the road than you, because they're the ones that are going to disciple you. They're going to help bring you along that path and bring you further along than you are. But you have to want it. It's like we work with people whose lives are in a desperate place. They're in the deepest well, but we actually can't pull them out unless they put an arm up and say, I want out, right? We can't want it more than them. And it's the same with the growth of our faith and our trust in Jesus. We have to want it. It has to be something we're going after. It has to be something that we are saying, Jesus, I want more of you. I want to know what you can do. I had a day where I told Phil, I'll try. I haven't cried yet. Isn't that great? I almost cry every time I get up here. I haven't cried yet. This, I might cry now. Anyway,
it'll happen.
So out of the blue, and this is when I know it's usually God. It's like there's no train that I can track, and my train is pretty much all over the track. But anyway, I'm pumping gas, minding my own business. And all of a sudden in my head, I'm just kind of going through all of the things that God has done in our lives over the last 22 years that we've been Christians. We've been Christians as long as we've been married. Isn't that fun? But I'm going through all of that, and I'm thinking, wow, like, that's amazing. And then I kind of hear God say, girl, we are just scratching the surface. Like, what do you really want to do with me? What do you want to do together? And then I get, you know the movie It's a Wonderful Life? I all of a sudden get the image of, and I hear God saying, do you want the moon? Because I'll lasso the moon and pull it down for you. And I'm like, whoa. And it was scary because I'm like, okay, if I think that all that God has done in my life right now is like, wow, we've done a lot with you, God. And he's going, that's just the surface. What do you want? What do you want to do? There's so much more. But I have to want it. I have to step into that uncomfortable place of, oh boy, where's he taking us now? For him to do those things in my life. So there's our part. There's our part.
I mean, the first part is given your life. Once you've given your life, that's not the end. That's just the beginning of it. That opening up your heart and saying, okay, God, I'm in this. I'm ready to do this with you. That's just the beginning. You've got to keep looking for the opportunity he's going to put in front of you, because he's going to put just little tiny ones in front of you that give you the opportunity just to experience just a glimpse of what he can do. And you'll feel that. It'll be that excitement that your heart starts pumping, you start feeling a little nervous, but it's just, it's a good feeling, way better than, you know, the roller coaster thing, which scares the bejeebers out of me now because I'm old. But it is. It's that excitement, and he'll just keep increasing that. If you're really willing to push in and listen to him, and then what he can do with that is just incredible.
And that's why we titled it Trust, Listen, Obey, Repeat. Because it's not a one-time thing. It's a lifetime thing. We're constantly, or should be, constantly moving forward in our faith, constantly saying, God, what's next? What do you want to do with my life? What can I do for you? And that's why, you know, there's that image, right? I stand at the door and knock. And there's an image they use in Alpha where it's a door and Jesus is on the other side of the door and he's knocking, but there's no handle on his side of the door because he can't push his way in, right? We are on the other side of the door. We have the handle. We are the ones that open the door and let Jesus in. So I would encourage you to open the door, even if it's just a crack in the beginning, even if it's just a little step of faith, not a giant leap, you won't be disappointed. That I can guarantee.
And don't let Sunday morning be your only experience of just spending time with him. You've got to really kind of push in the whole week, every day, whether it's in the car, driving to work, whatever you're doing. Like, all of us find that different sweet spot where we can just kind of connect. For me, it's usually if I'm working on something. I'm doing some kind of manual work, building something. And that's usually after that, I come in with Jen. Hey, Jen, I got a great idea.
And
we should
do this. Uh-oh.
But find that sweet spot. Find whether you just sit with your coffee in the morning, in the evening, whatever it is, just find that time to spend with him and do it as much as you can, whether you're doing it on your own, doing it with your small group, with your husband or your wife, your partner, mm-hmm. whoever, with your kids. It's the same thing. It's so important to just spend that time with him.
And then you get to see Jesus actually working, not just in your life, but in other people's lives. And that is fantastic. The things that we have seen him do and is doing in the lives of the women that we are walking with has done more to build our faith than really anything.
But
so
that you get to find out about on the 15th.
September 15th. Put it in your calendars.
That's a good plug then, wasn't it?
Right, it was. Yeah.
Like that.
Mm-hmm. So
hopefully we've kind of made some semblance of sense. Hopefully we're not too random and off on different... Actually, we stayed reasonably on track.
We did stay for
reasonably.
Well, thank you.
Good job.
Thank you for walking with us and having patience with us as we, you know, wing it and pivot and all the things. But I think right now I just want to pray. I want to pray for those hearts that maybe there's some people here that, you know, you feel like you used to be in a place where you trusted, but maybe things didn't go the way that you thought they would. And I think, you know, trust, what I used to tell my kids about trust is like an apple. And when you break trust with someone, it's like you take a bite out of the apple. And if somebody has broken your trust so many times that like all you have left is the core, well, now you have seeds and you have to plant them. It takes a long time to grow an apple tree to get apples again, right? So maybe that's where you're at right now. Maybe you feel like your trust has been broken by Jesus because maybe things just didn't go the way that you thought they were going to go. And that could be because maybe you didn't actually hear correctly. Maybe it wasn't confirmed. Maybe it wasn't, I don't know, for whatever reason. I want to pray for those people who feel like their trust is not where they want it to be. And I want to pray, too, for those of you who feel like, yeah, I trust Jesus, but like on the scale of 1 to 10, I'm at about a 3 or a 4. You know, I just want to pray for an increase in your ability to trust him and to step out and do the things that he really wants to do in your life, because he can do more than we can imagine if we let him. So, Jesus, thank you so much for trusting us today. Thank you for the words that you put on our hearts. We just pray that they have landed in the places that you needed them to land. Father, I pray for those who maybe feel like they can't trust you or have trusted you and have been hurt. Lord, I just pray that you would show them the truth in that situation. Father, you would minister to their hearts right now that they could really feel your overwhelming love for them. And Lord, for those who maybe feel like their trust is not where they want it to be, Father, just show them one small thing that you're asking them to do. And Lord, I pray that they have the faith to do it so that they can see who you are and how you can act in their life. Pray for all of us that we could just be a vessel for you in the world where there are broken hearts. Let us speak the words that those hearts need to hear. Let us be the hug that that person needs. Just open our eyes to where hurting people need to hear you and need to feel your presence, and let us be you in those situations. We thank you for all of the ways that you have acted and worked in our lives, the way that you have saved us from ourselves so many times. Jesus, I just pray a blessing over everyone here and everyone who's listening online today, Lord, that they would go forward in the week with new eyes and a new sense of adventure and trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.